This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together in the house of God to worship, and I'm especially glad to welcome you if you are visiting with us this morning. We're really glad that you're here and hope that you have a chance to meet some of the folks that are sitting around you or close by at the passing of the peace and after the service. If you are visiting with us and want to know a little bit more about West End and some of the ways we're trying to live out our mission in the world, God's mission in this world, if you would share an address or an email address with us, that would be a great way for us to reach out and be in touch with you. You can share that information on the registration pads. They should hopefully be going down your row, and if you would sign in, that would be wonderful. And if you're sitting on the center aisle, once that registration pad gets back to you, if you wouldn't mind tearing off all of the pages that have been filled out and place them on the top, that'll help our ushers at the end of the service as well. The summer is upon us. We are celebrating this Memorial Day weekend and remembering those who have made the greatest sacrifice for our country and have a day of celebration and rest tomorrow in that honor. And it's always the initiation of the summer season, and summer is a great time for us to learn and serve and grow together. So some of those opportunities to serve are right around the corner. Vacation Bible School is coming up in just a couple of weeks, and this is a way that children in our congregation, in our preschool, and in the community can come together and learn and sing and learn about God. And it takes all of our support. And we especially are looking for a couple of folks to work with our three-year-olds. If you have a heart for children and just love that age group, please let Becky Peeler or myself know, and we'll get you signed up. Another ministry with children is Project Transformation, where we have school-aged children who come to various sites across the city for tutoring and fun, and our church is one of the partners with Project Transformation, and we're collecting several items, and all those are listed in your insert. So if you would look over that list, and if you are able to donate any of those items, that would be wonderful. As far as opportunities to learn this summer, we have a special Sunday school series for adults that starts next Sunday, and we will meet downstairs in McWhorter Hall, the fellowship hall, every Sunday throughout the summer with different teachers, and the information's all in your insert, but everybody's welcome, so we hope you'll come when you can to that Sunday school class. This Sunday is Trinity Sunday, a Sunday that the church has handed down to us as a tradition to remember and celebrate and explore together what it means that we understand and relate to God as Trinity. So I invite you to open your hearts, your minds, your lives to this hour of worship that we might know the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit among us this day.
From the very whisper of creation, God poured forth love. In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus as a revelation of God's own self. When we thought all hope was lost, God offered the Holy Spirit to heal and guide us. In repentance and humility, let us turn our hearts to the God who reigns over our lives as divine parent, redeemer, and sustainer. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the way of peace. Come into the brokenness of our lives and our land with your healing love. Help us to be willing to bow before you in true repentance and to bow to one another in real forgiveness. By the fire of your Holy Spirit, melt our hard hearts and consume the pride and prejudice that separate us. Fill us, O Lord, with your perfect love, which casts out fear, and bind us together in the unity you share with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The commandment that we have from Christ Jesus is that we love one another, treating each other as beloved brothers and sisters. Abide in God's eternal love. Let its power and joy penetrate your hearts and spirits, preparing you for new growth in the Spirit. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of God be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Andrew and Josie Nielsen bring their son, Augustus Grave Nielsen, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Josie and Andrew, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this person now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. So pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who received it, to wash away his sin, and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Sorry. Perfect. What name is given this child?
Augustus Graves.
Augustus Graves. Augustus Graves, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And put your hands on him. We're going to pray. Augustus Graves, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go meet your new family. Look, all these people committed to pray for you and teach you what it means to be a disciple. Look at all these disciples. Yeah.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Augustus Graves to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Augustus Graves, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
invite the children to come forward and grown-ups can have a seat. Good morning, everybody. I enjoy trying to draw pictures of God. Sometimes I just draw a heart because I think about how much God loves me and loves everybody. Sometimes I draw Jesus, even though I don't draw faces very well, but I think of Jesus as the one who shows us what God is like. Well, on the front of the bulletin this morning, there's a picture of a painting that someone did hundreds of years ago to draw a picture of God. And here's another one. This one sits on my desk. So if you ever come up to my office, first of all, I have a candy jar. And second of all, I have this picture on my desk. So you'll want to come and see both of those things anytime. But you might think, wait, how can this be God? There are three people in this picture. Well, one of the things that we believe as Christians is that God is three in one. And maybe sometimes in worship you've heard us say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We just baptized Augustus in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are all God. And so this picture is one way to think about God. One of the things I like about this picture is it kind of looks like they're having a party, doesn't it? Like they're having a tea party, maybe, or they're sharing a meal together. It makes me think that God is having a party all the time. And one of the really cool things is there's an open space right there. When you go back to your seats, spend some time looking at this. And that open space is for you. That you're invited to join God at God's table and enjoy God's love and God's party. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this image, this picture, that helps us understand some things about you. It is hard sometimes to understand, but pictures like this help us see that you love us and that you want to be in relationship with us. So thank you for your love and help us to feel your love and share it with others. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back to sit with parents or grandparents or friends. I am grateful for pictures and images because it is not easy to talk about the Trinity. I'll never forget when I was very early in ministry, fresh out of seminary, newly trained, theological depth. And I was in my first appointment as an associate pastor at Brentwood United Methodist Church, and the first grade Sunday school teacher asked me if I would join her first graders in the sanctuary to talk about worship. And she asked me if I would wear my robe and my stole. And so I did, and we met in the sanctuary, and I showed them the pulpit and the lectern and the paraments and why we change colors. We went to the baptismal font, and we talked about water and baptism. We went to the altar, and I showed them the cup, and I said there's a special name for the plate. It's called a paten, and that's the Holy Communion. That's the meal that we share. So I imparted all of this wonderful wisdom to these first graders. And then we sat down for the last 10 minutes, and I asked if they had any questions. And one little girl raised her hand, and she said, "What's that on your stole?" Because I had told him it was a stole, first of all. And on that stole, it was a different one, there was a symbol for the Trinity. And so I said, "Well, that's a symbol for the Trinity." Blink, blink. Another little boy raised his hand. "What's the Trinity?" And so the rest of the class, 10 minutes go by with me trying to explain the Trinity to a group of first graders. It didn't go well, and I'm not sure I understood it myself. The truth is, this doctrine of the Trinity that we have is a mystery that is hard for children and adults, all of us, to wrap our heads around. It's just difficult to put into words and to understand what this doctrine is all about. And yet, We have an invitation every year from the tradition of the church. The Sunday after Pentecost is always Trinity Sunday. And so, as a preacher, I have a choice. Do I leave this ancient doctrine of the Trinity up on the shelf and just let it continue to collect dust? Or do I take it down on Trinity Sunday and open it up with you and explore it together? Is there something in this understanding of God as Trinity that can bless us and be a blessing to our world as it is today? I think so. And so I want to invite you to jump in with me into this ancient doctrine, realizing, of course, that we will only be able to shine the light on one little angle of this very rich doctrine. It's like a diamond with many facets to it, and there's no way we can explore much of it together in just an hour. But I hope that we can look at it this morning and learn something new that might nourish our souls and our ministry together. Now, the doctrine of the Trinity as a doctrine of the church didn't really take full form until the 4th century. But much of our understanding of God as Trinity comes from the Gospel of John, the gospel that opens up the prologue, the opening verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's how John introduces Jesus as the eternal presence of God made flesh to live among us. And throughout John's gospel, Jesus refers to God the Creator as Father. It is a love relationship, a parent-child relationship. And Jesus talks with his disciples about, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Showing this union, this unity, and at the same time, this distinctness, this uniqueness. Now, when Jesus says all of these things, it's right where we are in John's gospel today. He's gathered with them for their final meal together. And he washes their feet in chapter 13. And then he begins to talk with them and to teach them and to give them his farewell address. These are his last words to his disciples before he is arrested and crucified. And that's when he begins to talk about the Father and I are one. Abide in me as I abide in my Father, and my Father abides in you, and we will abide in you. And in this part which we hear this morning, he begins to say to them, now I'm getting ready to leave you. In a little while, I will no longer be with you. But don't be afraid, because we will send the Advocate to you, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus gives the Spirit many names, but makes this promise that God's presence, the fullness of Jesus' presence, will be with them in a new way. That the Spirit will come upon them, will fill them and surround them so that his presence will always be with them. And so we have in these few chapters, God the Father.
Okay, the Spirit wants me to keep going. So we have in this chapter of John's Gospel, in these chapters of John's Gospel, the Trinity laid out before us, never using the word Trinity, but we see this relationship that is within God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the words that Jesus uses, are the traditional words that the church has given us. And we've learned in recent years especially how important it is to recognize any language we use about God as limited. We're never meant to understand God as masculine, but to understand the relationship of Father and Son, of parent and child. And we're invited always to explore different words and different ways of expressing this mystery of God. And so we have learned Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. One of my absolute favorites comes from St. Augustine, who calls the Trinity the Lover, the Beloved,
and the love between them. Isn't that beautiful? What a powerful reminder that at the very heart of God, the very essence of God, is a relationship of love. That's the wonderful, powerful mystery of the Trinity that I want to hold up for us today. That God is relationship. That God is, within God's self, a community of mutuality and love, pouring out love and receiving love throughout eternity. And here we have this beautiful image that we've reprinted on the front of the bulletin. It's a very old Russian icon. And if you're familiar with icons, they were meant to be windows into prayer, things that the believer could gaze upon as a way of ushering in prayer and relationship with God. And so here we have the Trinity, this holy community, this holy family, sitting at a table together. And you can see two of their heads inclined toward the third, which gives the image movement. We can almost see the love flowing from one to the other. And then, as I shared with the children, we have this open place at the table. The image invites us to sit down at the table with this loving community. God invites us into relationship. I abide in you as my Father abides in me, and the Spirit will abide in you, and together we will abide in a relationship of love. I think it matters what images we have of God. We all have different images, and they shape how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about God and how we feel about other people. What is your primary image of God? When you sit down to pray, do you see God? Do you imagine God? Maybe you imagine a heart or a river or a great tree. There are so many images that are given to us in Scripture. The image of the mother hen gathering her chicks. For many of us, myself included, the primary image that I've grown up with and that still rises to the surface for me is of the king on the throne. The powerful king sitting up on a throne. But I'll confess, sometimes it's hard for me to feel the love in that relationship. Sometimes I feel more like God is my judge, or that I'm afraid of God, or that this God doesn't really invite me into a mutual relationship of love. And then in more recent years, I have rediscovered this ancient doctrine of the Trinity. The image of God as a loving community gathered and sharing and giving and receiving of love and relationship. A community that invites me by name. If you were, the next time you sit down to pray, to bring this image to mind, how might it invite you to love and be loved by God? And how might this image reshape how we live in the world? If our primary image is of God up on a throne, judging us and judging others, and we believe that God is on our side, well, then doesn't it become a lot easier to sit in a high place and judge others? But if we are in a relationship with God that is mutual and loving and beloved, if God is a party host who wants us to gather at the table, how might that shape how we go out into the world and invite others? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, the Lover, the Beloved, and the love between them. They are gathered at a table in loving communion, and there is always room for one more. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you'd like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you'd like your prayer requests to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, the rose on the communion table celebrates the birth of Jack Thomas Husky, who was born on May the 9th to Claudia and Bill Husky. He is also welcomed by his big brother, Liam Husky. Let us now turn to our holy and loving God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creator God, we give you thanks for the beauty of your earth, for flowers, trees, and animals of every kind that remind us of your creativity. We remember too, O three in one, that you created us in your image and called us good. And we praise you for the way you are reflected in the interconnectedness and interdependency of all creation. Great Redeemer, we acknowledge that we sometimes forget or neglect to care for ourselves and one another as those who bear your image. We recognize that we are ever in need of your grace, ever in need of the example of Jesus Christ, who through his life, death, and resurrection showed us your love incarnate, your love in action. Restore us, O Christ. Restore your world. We lift up to you now those persons and situations most on our hearts this morning. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country, and we give you thanks for them. O God, may your love be made known, may your grace be shared, and may your light illumine the darkest corners of creation. Sustaining Spirit, stir among your people. Help us to recognize your presence among us, especially when we are distressed or discouraged. Grant us vision, that we might be co-workers with you as you recreate, renew, and restore this world. Energize us for the task ahead, and help us to grow ever more holy. We ask all of this in the name of the Triune God, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As grateful recipients of the gifts of God, let us present our tithes and offerings with joy and thanksgiving this morning. invite those who are joining this morning to come forward. First, I'd like to introduce you to Jane Manskar. Jane is retired. She raised 5 children, and she is transferring from Bridgewater United Methodist Church in Bridgewater, Virginia. Next, we have Patrick McAnally. Patrick is a community engagement facilitator with Leadership Tennessee, and he's transferring from Ethos Church here in Nashville. Next, we have Katie and Quint Minnis. Katie is a divinity student at Vanderbilt, and she will be one of our interns in the fall, working with spiritual formation and emerging adults. Quint is an HR specialist with Wood Personnel Services. Katie's transferring from Murray First United Methodist Church in Murray, Kentucky, and Quint is transferring from Lebanon Church of Christ in Mayfield, Kentucky. And last but not least, Vicki Clayton. Vicki is the Senior Director of Litigation at Mendota Insurance, and she's transferring from Belmead United Methodist Church here in Nashville. So Patrick and Quint, this first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Right. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Vicki, Jane, Patrick, Katie, and Quint are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we will renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Creator, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide within you, guide you, comfort you, and nourish you, and flow through you into this world that God so loves. Amen.